listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the episode of today. So in today's episode, this is a Head Noise episode. I'm going to be answering some listener questions. We have some great questions coming in. I am talking like juicy questions, questions about sex life, questions about relationships with parents. And so often I get you guys writing into me saying that, you know, I either, like some of the questions are like, I heard you answer this person's question and I feel like I'm on the receiving end of that thing and I want to see it from that perspective. Or a lot of people are like, you've literally answered my question directly just by answering someone else's question. So it's really, really cool. Also, what I'm going to start kind of including into these episodes is I'm going to start polling you guys more often because you guys are absolutely hilarious. My audience is so funny. You guys are classic, like hilarious beans. When I've asked you questions in the past, the responses have either been really, really vulnerable, deep, authentic, or just outright fucking hilarious. So I want to start polling you guys more often about serious questions, funny questions, all sorts of things, and just be reading your responses out on these episodes. I will be polling you guys on Instagram. So if you don't already follow me, my personal Instagram is at Alexis Predez, P-R-E-D-E-Z, or the podcast Instagram, which is at DYFM Podcast. This is on Instagram, obviously. Let's just get straight into it. We've got a few questions. I'm going to see if I can get through either three, maybe four, depending how long I blab on. But yeah, let's get into it. Okay, question number one. Hello, I'm going to start this email out by saying I love your podcast, but that obviously goes without saying. It's a vital part of my everyday life and I'm very grateful for you. Thank you. I've been listening to your podcast for a few years now, and over the span of those years, I've had the same partner. We're two girls in our early 20s, and so naturally, we've had a few bumps along the way. Without sounding like a douche, most of the bumps have been on her side, as she has struggled accepting a healthy relationship and has pushed me away quite a few times, as well as treated our relationship pretty poorly in the beginning stages. With that being said, though, we've been in a stable and much healthier relationship for about 9 months now, and I'm truly surprised and very proud of our progress as young women and people. However, sometimes when I listen to certain things in your podcast, I still see that we could definitely get better at it from both ends. That's why I like to listen to your podcast, because I want to keep becoming a better partner myself. At times, I wish I could share a podcast with her and have her listen, but she doesn't want to. And that's a hurdle, and I don't know how to pass because it's, sorry, that's a hurdle that I don't know how to pass because it's hard to then share what I learn. She says she doesn't enjoy self-development books or podcasts and that she has her own way of learning and growing. But honestly, her way doesn't seem very efficient as our progress moves at a slower pace than I'd like. When we do sit down to discuss, she's open and understanding and so on, but I'd like to have those conversations once or twice a week, not once or twice a month. My question is, how can I get my partner more invested without pushing her boundaries? And do I sound needy from this email, or like my expectations of her are perhaps unfair? This is a really, really good question. The first thing I want to talk about is when you talk about being needy. That's something that comes up quite often in relationships, like my partner's really needy or I'm really needy. I think what's really important to pull apart when you talk about neediness, I would consider someone to be needy if they're trying to get things from me that they can provide for themselves, but choosing not to do so. I feel like that's needy. It's like you're expecting all this stuff from me. You're expecting, you know, whether it be validation, whether it be constant attention, whether it be me to do things for you. Everyone's got their own version of that. However, when it comes to wanting to better the relationship, wanting to get the relationship in a particular direction, wanting specific outcomes where it requires two people working, I don't really think it's necessarily needy. I don't think so. If it's where it's two people working towards a common goal. What you might find, though, is that it's not even you might find, it's just a fact that everyone has a different idea of where they want their relationship to be and what they deem to be, you know, a healthy relationship versus a relationship that needs work. Everyone sees it differently. How you perceive it is different to how your partner perceives it. So I do believe that for her, twice a week to have a conversation about the relationship might be like, babe, this is fucking exhausting. We're beating a dead horse. Like, I'm about to fucking implode if you tell me to fucking talk about the relationship one more fucking time. Whereas for you, you're like, this is absolutely normal. And there's other people out there, like I might have some friends who, you know, it's just so normal for us to talk about this relationship. And that is personal preference. That is how you perceive it versus how someone else perceives it. That's how you've experienced relationships in the past and how open and how easy it is for you to talk about your place in a relationship and how vulnerable you can be and how, you know, some people find being vulnerable and talking about their problems in a relationship or what they need to improve on exhausting and emotionally taxing. So to do that twice a week for your partner might be like, this is draining to the extent that I dread these talks. Okay. So I think what's really important is number one, you've got to understand where each other is coming from and what would be the ideal thing for each person. So for you, 2 weeks, twice a week is ideal. For your partner, it's once or twice a month. So I think the first thing that you would talk about is how can we meet in the middle here? If yours is once a fortnight and mine is twice a week, why don't we aim to do 3 times a month? You know, something like that, or 4 times a month or something like that, you know, and see if your partner's happy with that. The next thing is, can you turn these conversations into something that's kind of something that doesn't feel like, because I don't know what these conversations are like. They might actually be quite enjoyable. I'm just talking, I'm devil's advocate at the moment. But maybe every Friday night, or whenever, you pick the day, but every whatever, Friday night, you have a date night. And on that date night, you have 5 questions that you ask each other. So that way it's not like, hey, so this is what really annoyed me about you. Blah, 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 blah. This is what you've done and what you haven't done enough of. I've just emotionally dumped everything on you because I can access my emotions really easily and I can just tell you everything that's wrong. But then this person might struggle with communication. They might feel really bad raising something that they don't like that you did. So then they stay quiet. Then it feels like it's all on them and all of that. Especially like you said, she seems to be the one that's causing most of the problems in the relationship. Obviously, you're okay with that. You're willing to work through it. But from her perspective, it can be really exhausting where you're the one that's always, you know, your partner's got these high expectations off you. She obviously loves you and she wants to meet those expectations. But when she doesn't have anything to criticize you for and you're the one always criticizing her, no wonder she doesn't want to have these talks all the time. And I understand it from both perspectives. You're like, I want this to improve. I want to be with her. Let's keep having this conversation so we can get better. But from her perspective, it's like, you're fucking perfect. I'm a fucking dud. And every time we talk, you're raising shit that I've done wrong or not done enough or not done this. So she's probably feeling like she's falling short. Hence why she probably doesn't want to have these conversations as often as you do. So you've got to look at it from her perspective as well. Not saying you should excuse these behaviors that you don't like, but you've got to look at it from like, oh, well, no wonder she might not want to do this. No wonder she's aversive to this. No wonder she doesn't enjoy these conversations. So I would have maybe a date night and you make it really enjoyable. If you guys drink or like to go out for a drink, why don't you be like, let's go to our favorite bar. Let's sit down. Let's have this really nice, before we talk about anything social, let's just summarize our week in the most, giving each other the most safe space possible. And we can talk about, you know, what was the highlight within the relationship? What was, you know, the low light? Where did you think there was the most growth? Where did you think whatever? And so you, within those questions, you have really positive questions and some questions that really allow the other person to open up being like, I feel we regressed in this area and this is what I think we could do to make it better. And then you reciprocate and the other person does the same question and answer as well. So I think that if you can do that, then you're allowing for once a week or once a fortnight, you pick the cadence of these meetings to have these conversations. At the end of the day, you can't force anything onto anyone. If she says, I don't enjoy self-help, maybe she just doesn't like it and that's perfectly fine. Maybe her version of self-development and self-help is doing something completely different. We've all got our own things, but one thing that absolutely will never work is shoving self-development or self-help or anything like that down someone's throat. It is like shoving religion down someone's throat. It's the worst thing in the world. You either align with it or you don't. So you've got to find a way to, the best way I think to get someone to do something is hope that you can inspire them in some way. So if they say, oh, well, you're really like you're shining, you're really doing really well. You're this, maybe I will give this a go. Maybe I will give this a listen. Maybe. That's the best you can hope for. But in reality, you can never shove something down someone's throat. At the end of the day, one thing that has to be made clear is I want to grow as much as possible. And I would love for us to be able to grow together. However, I'm not going to force you to come with me on this journey, but I'm also not going to go on this journey if you're not going to come with me. So it's not an ultimatum. It's not nothing. It's just saying if this causes us to be pulled further and further apart, then that's just the nature of our relationship. And if it doesn't evolve to the extent that I wish it could, then that's also just a shame. A lot of people hinder their growth in order to stay in a relationship because their partner's not moving at the pace that they're moving or their partner's moving in a completely different direction to them. But then the problem with that is, yes, they stay with the person that they love, but then they resent that same person because they're like, I was stagnant for you. I waited forever. Like it's never worth, you can never trade in yourself and what you know is truly important for you for somebody else. It will never make you happy. So yeah, hopefully that helps, but I would try the weekly check-in. I would also try and see like where it is that you can meet in the middle the most, like as often as possible. And then ask your partner as well, what are your ways of self-development? I'd love to try it too. I'm keen on giving it a go. If you show that you've got interest in how she practices self-development, maybe not, she might take interest in how you do. All right. But I love that you guys are making growth. I love that you guys are making changes. It's okay if someone's slower to come to the party than the other person. That's perfectly fine. I think for me, the most exciting thing is seeing progress in the other person, in the partner. And if it's not at my pace, it's okay. But if you're kind of both heading in the same direction, that's a very, very, very good sign. Okay, next question. Hi, Alexis. Simply, j'adore your podcast. You've helped me tackle so many different situations and gotten out of toxic ones, and I really appreciate everything you do for us. My question is, my best friend of many years has been mentally unwell the entire time I've known her. She has severe attachment issues with her parents, which has then manifested in her relationships and friendships. She's created this enmeshment in all of her relationships, romantic or platonic. She's someone who needs to be close with everyone, has many, many friends, always seeks external validation, is always sorting out other people's problems and neglecting her close friends in the process. Her self-image and what other people think of her is the most important quality to her, which results in always needing to be the center of attention in most situations, regardless if it's about her or not. She has struggled with her body image issues and has projected those onto her close friends. Her relationships are often with controlling and emotionally abusive men who end up being rude and difficult to be around once the honeymoon / love bomb phase of the relationship is over, and is very rarely single for longer than 2 weeks, always getting into serious relationships. She is in therapy, but doesn't speak about actual issues that she faces and mostly focuses on sexual and romantic relationships, as that's where she finds value in herself. She can be quite selfish, especially with plans made within our close group of friends, as we almost always do what she wants, as she struggles with big compromises to said plans. The list is longer than this, but these are the main points. I'm struggling to not feel resentful towards her after being her friend for this long and seeing no change. I'm always giving her solicited advice that she never listens to, speaking about our boundaries that she rarely follows, and having to soothe her before nights out, as 9 times out of 10, she has a breakdown about her outfits and how she looks and relies on her close friends to patch her back together. I regularly try to check in with myself on how her behavior is affecting me and if it is my own issues / projections or the result of resentment for being her therapist for such a long time. I find it hard to confront her about behaviors as she's quite often reactive and shuts down, and then I end up caring for her rather than having my concerns met or validated. How much longer should I stay around and hope that she would change and put value in those who would do anything for her? I love her like a sister, but after every confrontational conversation, I feel like it stays good for a bit before returning to the usual. I want to continue to be her friend as we have so much history, but I'm becoming more and more hopeless as time goes on that she may never change and I will always feel neglected and resentful. It feels like most of our friendship group has grown up and dealt with our internal issues, but she hasn't. Thanks, Alexis. I really appreciate your advice. Great question. I think it's really difficult when you are in such a close friendship group and everyone's evolving at their own pace, but there's you know, like you grow in different directions. Kind of like my last, you know, all relationships are how we're evolving in a way that we can still accommodate each other in our lives. That's the aim with friendships as well, with romantic relationships, with any intimate emotional relationship in your life. I think another thing that's really important to note is pay attention to what your expectations are of her. I do have an episode and it's all about different kinds of friendships. And I speak about, there's not just one category of friendship. I think a lot of people think you're either a friend or you're an acquaintance and that's it. But I think maybe it's time for you to check in with yourself and say, I can still have this person as a friend in my life, but maybe not as a best friend with the expectations that I would put on a best friend. Maybe it's a different kind. Maybe she's evolving into a different kind of friendship where my expectations are lower, where I'm trying to intervene and give so much of myself emotionally to what feels like an empty pit where I feel really drained after every interaction. You know, maybe I could have a different kind of friendship with her so I'm not cutting her out because I do love her, but there isn't this intense, you know, like highs and lows in the relationship every time I have to interact with her. Because the problem is that we all have expectations on our friends. And when those expectations are really high and they're consistently never met, then you resent them. And that's what's happening right now. You know, you're always there for her. You're always there to be her therapist. You're always, you know, and then she's, you know, neglecting her closest friends. She's neglecting you for people that are more superficial. She's neglecting you for partners, you know, that come and go in her life. So you're feeling very left out here. It's not like, you know, when I look at friendships, it's not 50-50 all the time. You know, sometimes you're really there for your friends in their hour of need and they can't give you anything and that's what friends are for. And then the other way around. And I know that you also shouldn't be in a relationship so you get something back. But I also think it's very, very, it would be very ridiculous to think that a friendship will always only ever be one-sided. That's not a relationship. That's a power dynamic. That's an abuse of what you get in a relationship. So if you're never getting anything in return, or if what you get is kind of drips and drabs in comparison to what you're investing in this relationship so often, then I would 100% take a significant step backwards out of that relationship. And I would keep it more as more of like a peripheral friend or more of like a good times friend where I'm not so heavily emotionally invested. Because normally my advice would be, have you tried this? Have you tried that? But you've clearly spoken many times. She's shut you out every single time. She's not receptive to what you have to say. And at the end of the day, no matter how much you love somebody, that doesn't cause them to change. That doesn't cause them to pick better behaviors. That doesn't cause them to treat you better or to be better in the friendship. It just doesn't. Sometimes it gets to a point where you've given everything you have to give. You've tried your best. You're still there for them when they absolutely need you through in something serious. But you also gets to a point where you're like, how much more of myself am I going to give in this? Because I feel like I'm stretching myself so thin in this friendship and I'm getting absolutely nothing in return. If anything, I'm getting pushed away or I'm not being treated properly. So you might also find that you will enjoy her as a friend so much more if you step back and think, okay, the time for our best friendness has probably like it's run its course and maybe it's time to just have you as a friend, but I need to be less attached. I need to be less invested. I need to be less involved. Is it going to be difficult and sad? Yes. Are you going to be a lot less stressed and have a lot more like emotional freedom? Yes. And I think what could come of it is that she may notice this and she'll be like, we used to be so close. And then that's when you have the opportunity to be like, I tried to be close with you, but you were at a point in your life where you didn't realize that me talking to you about our problems was me trying to be close with you. Me trying to open up saying, these are the problems, they should get better. You know, like we should be working on this so we could, but you dismissed me every time and it was your way or the highway and I couldn't handle that anymore. So I had to take a step back. I love you. I always want to be your friend, but I couldn't be that level of friend that you wanted because I had nothing left to give. Okay. So I think that, you know, like I've mentioned many times, relationships are super complicated. I don't think it's all or nothing. I don't think it's like, if I can't have her as a best friend, she's out of my life. Absolutely not. But you need to also make relationships work for you. And if this isn't working for you, then it's perfectly normal to be able to be like, okay, I'm bringing it back a level, and you're going to be, you know, a good times friend. I'm not going to be there every single second of the day for you. And then you just turn around and ignore me and then put your effort into someone you've just met 3 days ago. Cool. Hopefully that helped. Next question. Okay, this one is a really good one. Okay. Hi, Alexis. Obviously love the podcast. I'm an OG listener from New Zealand and I have a massive appreciation for you. I love my kiwi beans. I've got so many kiwi beans. I need to do a live show in New Zealand immediately. Bit of a tricky topic. Sex in long-term relationships. I know the general consensus, but what is everyone doing here? I should do a poll. This is something I should do a poll on. My fiance and I met a little over 2 years. For context, we're in our mid-40s and combined have 4 children. I run my own business and he works full-time also. We lived in different towns when we met, but saw each other multiple times a week. And like most people, the initial stages of our relationship saw plenty of sex multiple times per week. Things were exciting as we got to know each other and our likes / dislikes. Things were really great initially. Cracks started to form with a few red flags becoming evident from him after a few months. Things like excessive drinking, drink driving, reactiveness, aggression, never directed at me, but aggression. I suspect he has ADHD with him showing obsessive behaviors and addiction to alcohol / painkillers and sex. As issues arose, I suggested counseling to learn how to better communicate. We attended 2 sessions in which the counselor tried to address some of the issues raised and was basically dismissed after telling my partner he was showing some red flags / toxic behavior. Fast forward to now, and he has sold his property and moved to my town where we share a home together and have shared care of all our children. He has since done a lot of work on himself, hugely reduced his drinking, and seems to be better for it. The problem I face now is his huge sex drive. As things taper off over time, as is natural in a relationship, he has become more and more disgruntled at the reduced level of sexual activity to the point where if it's not a minimum of 2x per week, he will pressure, make offensive, suggestive comments like today. For example, when he got home, he said, "Do what you need to do to get ready. It's happening. I'm coming for you." Can I just like pause and say that actually made me sick to my stomach to even read that. That's so inappropriate on so many levels for a partner to say that to you, but and you literally just wrote after that, yuck, I fucking agree. Like, that's gross behavior. But I'm going to continue this and address that later. He gets angry and blames it on not having had sex. He claims it's a massive part of his life. And before we got together, he was a very busy boy on Tinder, sleeping with multiple women per week. We have discussed our different levels of sex drive at length, and I'm not sure what more I can do. I have much less desire than he does. And the more pressure I feel, the less I want to have sex. Totally fair enough. He has a very let's get down to business view on sex, isn't really interested in foreplay. This is exactly what I was going to talk about. And to be honest, isn't very good at it when he does, which is causing me to just want to get this job done, often telling him to hurry up so I can go to sleep. I do deeply love him and the life we've built together with our children. I feel we are compatible in every other way, but I feel this is starting to give me the ick, and I'm concerned he will stray if I don't keep up with his sexual appetite. Oh, that comment makes me sick. I'm sorry. Love you so much. But if you're concerned he will stray, that's the trash taking itself out. But let's continue. Really appreciate your help / advice. Great fucking question. Thank you for writing in. Firstly, I want to say that I was listening to an interview with Esther Perel. If you don't already know who Esther Perel is, she's a fucking phenomenal, like, relationship therapist. I don't know her exact title. Relationship therapist. She does a lot of therapy around sex partners, and she's got a really, really great podcast called Where Do We Begin with Esther Perel. She's phenomenal. Definitely go check her out. She's got much better advice than I could ever give related to sex and relationships. But something that she did say was that if women have a low sex drive in relationships, not always, because there's several reasons that have to do with sex drive, but for women, a lot of the time, the reason the sex drive is low is not because they don't want sex. It's because they don't want the sex that is on offer. Okay? They don't want the sex that is on offer. And you have summed it up very, very well, because I know that this is very true for women. And this is also true for a substrate or a group of men as well. but definitely for a lot of women, especially when it comes to relationships where you live together, where there's the mundane side of things as well. Because women can, we can have one night stands. We can go for a quick fuck. Like there's no problem there. But when it comes to relationships, the foreplay starts in the morning. The foreplay starts with, I'm going to kiss you a nice good kiss goodbye. I'm going to, you know, hug you and grab you and hold you and touch you. I'm going to put my arm around you. I'm going to flirt with you. I'm going to be warm and this beautiful presence. And I'm going to compliment you and say nice things. And I'm also going to contribute equally as a team member in this household. So then you start being like, oh, they're really warm to me. Oh, that was a really flirty morning that we had. Oh, and then they send you a cute text and you're like thinking about them. And, you know, you're keeping that spark alive. And then at night they kiss you passionately. And then that kiss turns into something more. And then before you know it, you're having sex. That's when people have a lot of sex in a relationship. Okay. So I'm going to address you having a lower sex drive in general later, but a lot of your lower sex drive could be due to the kind of sex and the kind of attitude towards sex that your partner has. Okay. So that's the first thing. You clearly don't have that. And I've been in relationships as well, where there's been none of that. And then it's like, let's fucking go when we get into bed. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do right now is have sex with you. The last thing I want to do. You've like, there's no warming up at all. And another thing that's really difficult for a lot of women in particular is this idea of it's sex or it's nothing. So, and the girls on the Kick podcast were talking about this as well. I don't know if they had a guest on it, they were just talking about it. But it's this idea of sometimes when you think I've got to have sex with this person, it's quite an exhausting thought. If you've had a big day, if you've had a long day, you're tired, you go to bed. The thought of having like, oh, now we're going to have sex. I'll just leave it for another day. It's too much. It's too much to commit to. I'm tired. I'm not even that turned on by you. You're just lying there. You're like, let's fucking have sex. Like that's such a turn off. So then you're like, I don't really want to do it. However, if you get into bed and you just think, I'm just going to kiss my partner. You hug each other, you kiss, and then it becomes more passionate. You might be like, I don't want sex. I just want to make out and then roll over. Halfway through making out, you're like, I need it now. I'm so turned on. Oh my God, this is amazing. Okay. So I think it's really important to realize how much of an impact behaviors around sex have on how much you're willing to have sex with your partner. So I think it's really important to maybe have some insight into yourself and ask yourself, is it possible that a lot of my sex drive has gone down, not just because I'm busy, because that is a fair reason why your sex drive is going to go down because you're tired, you're busy, you got shit on. That's perfectly understandable. But is it also possible that my sex drive has gone down because it's this expectation? So I'm already like, oh, I'm putting the brakes on. I'm like aversive to it before it's even begun, before I've even had a taste for it. The foreplay is not there. And I'm not talking about foreplay when you're already in the bedroom having committed to sex. Because a lot of people say, oh, it's the foreplay. But foreplay, there's so much that's included in foreplay. It's not just the non-intercourse sexual acts within the bedroom. Because that already, sometimes you think, I'm so tired, I don't ever want to fool around. I'm talking about the emotional foreplay, the flirting, all that kind of stuff. If there's none of that, and then on top of all of that, because it's this like, let's go, it's not even enjoyable sex because you feel you got to get it done, then maybe that's one of the big fucking alarm bells as to why you have a much lower sex drive. Anyone listening to that's libido is going to go down. Everyone who just listened to that, their sex drive went down. I can tell you. It is that much of a turn off, male or female, it doesn't matter what gender you are. If any partner is behaving that way, it is a fucking turn off. It's like, cunt, you are clearly not doing enough. If you have to be like, oh, get yourself ready. I'm sorry. That's a reflection on you. No offense, but if you have to behave in that way and if you've got to like expect your partner to get themselves ready, that's a reflection on you in the bedroom. Okay. That's a reflection on you outside of the bedroom as a partner. And if you actually cared, you would sit down. He would have sat you down and said, how are you feeling? Is everything feeling? I'm really trying to keep the flame alive. He's not giving a fuck about keeping the flame alive and because he's so, I'm sorry. I'm sure he, actually, I'm not sure if he's lovely. I don't know him from a bar of soap. But what I am going to say is from what you're telling me from a sexual standpoint, he's extremely selfish. I can't speak for him in other areas of your life. You say you're compatible. You say you love him. That's all well and good. Good on him. But from a sexual standpoint, he's very selfish because what he would have done if he cared about you and about your intimacy sexually, he would have approached you and said, what can I do to make you feel more, you know, what are things that will turn you on? What are things that are going to make you want? Like, he would inquire. He would be interested. He would want you to enjoy it. He would want you to enjoy it. Okay? And the fact that he's like, get yourself ready for it. Like, I'm sorry. Are we 12? Are we 12? And then he's like, I had sex with multiple women all the time on Tinder. Like, thanks for the flex, mate. But you were also capable of sleeping with multiple men a week if you wanted to as well. So thanks for you rubbing this in my face, but we're all capable here of having multiple sexual partners a week if we wanted to. You're not special for announcing that about yourself. And if someone was putting fucking 10 out of 10 sex on the table, I'd probably be wanting it every single night. So get off your fucking high horse, take a hard look at yourself in the mirror and look at where you're going wrong in this relationship from a sexual standpoint. Now, should you say that to him the way I've just said it? Probably not. That's probably going to get him extremely like feeling attacked and fired up. But this is something that I want you to realize what is going on with your sex drive. And then all of that aside, at the end of the day, there are going to be different levels of sex drive and people's sex drive does fluctuate in their life. There's going to be times of extremely high stress, irrelevant of age, obviously young men in general, and then women in their early 30s in general, that's like the peak of your sex drive, according to certain studies. But again, it goes up and down throughout your entire life. So firstly, I want to say that maybe you've got a very skewed perception of what your sex drive is like because of how your sex life has evolved with your partner and how it's just dramatically gone downhill. And then another thing is that maybe even if everything, because ask yourself, if everything was great, if the care, if the interest was on me enjoying myself, if there wasn't a lot of women as well, it's like, we don't have to have sex to feel like, okay, now I'm sexually satisfied. A lot of women, it could be just a bit of playing, bit of fooling around. And then I'm really, it's like, I don't have to have sex 10 times a week in order to feel satisfied. I could have sex once and then fool around once or twice and then just have a makeup session. And then I'm really satisfied. Like, everyone's got their own levels and partners should talk about this. How do you feel satisfied? How do I feel satisfied? If at the end of the day, and it's going to sound so harsh, but it's important to know my opinion because you've asked for it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be giving it to you. Actually, I do give it to you. I give it to you all the time, but you choose to listen to it on my podcast. But here's my opinion. Number one, I would try and have a conversation being like, when have you ever showed actual interest in what my needs look like sexually? Because at the moment, they're not being fulfilled even when we do have sex. And I've just got to be dead honest with you. And it's not to say that you don't have the potential to fulfill me sexually, but at the moment, the way it's going, you're actually pushing me further away. You're creating more of a divide than bringing us closer. So there's certain things that we could be trying, but at the moment you're just not hitting any of those markers at all. But then it's also really important to note that if someone is like, you got to keep up, this is my sex drive, you've got to keep up, this is it, but they're not willing to do anything because they care about you, that for me would be the biggest ick ever. That shows a massive amount of disrespect. That's very disrespectful. And I find it really interesting to think that you think you're extremely compatible with this person and that he's really great in every other area, but he's also talking to you like that sexually. That's really bizarre. Maybe just really be cold and look at this relationship and being like, are you actually respecting me right now? Like, because if you are and you're just not in this, I just don't know. It was very dismissive of the therapist. Like, it just seems like it's my way or the highway. And that's not fine. That's not acceptable. So I would sit him down and hit him right between the eyes and say, if my sex drive is enough for you to walk away, there's the door, cunt. But here we are trying to fix this relationship. We're engaged. Ideally, we want it to work out. You're not, my needs are not met at all. And you sitting there with an erect dick being like, get yourself ready, is so far from having my needs met. I could vomit all over you. So let's get to the bottom of this. Let's actually talk about, are we actually interested in having each other's needs met, or are you selfish and you just want to get laid? Because if that's the case, be my guest. Just don't do it in my presence. Get out of my space, life, whatever. Okay. If someone spoke to me like that, I would give them one fucking chance at a really good conversation where they could really explain what they meant. But if they regularly spoke to me like that, and by regularly, I mean more than twice, it would be done. Like you have to teach people how to treat you. And that is not it. That's not fucking it. And I really want you to, and also you deserve a really healthy sex life. And that could be just once a week of great sex, but you deserve a healthy sex life where you're not shamed for your sex drive, especially when likely their fucking behaviors have contributed to your sex drive declining. Okay. That is so beyond selfish. It's like unfathomable. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for writing in. I fucking love your questions. I love them. I feel connected to my audience when I get to answer your questions. It's really, really cool. So good times. That's all. Keep sending your questions in. If you do want to ask a question for me to answer on the pod, please email info@dyfmpod.com. Or you can ask questions through the website as well, which just sends the questions directly to that email. DMs on Instagram are not the best because I do get flooded a lot and you can't like write the longest one. So email is definitely where is the go-to to send in your questions to be answered on the podcast. Thank you guys so much. Love you guys. Thank you to my Kiwi Beans for writing in today. Really appreciate it. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke.
Listener.